141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon's hitting out at Celtic's critics, saying there's no justification for him to be sacked. Rangers turn their attentions back to European action after taking the advantage domestically, and no Scottish Cup replays this season as the competition looks to survive coronavirus challenges. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah.
And welcome to the biggest week of the season so far, Gordon. Celtic have gone defeat, draw as they now head to the Europa League clash with Lille on Thursday night. Rangers 6 points clear in the Premiership. They could make it 6 from 6 in the Europa against Lech Poznan. Hearts and Hibs are just 4 days from an Edinburgh derby at Hampden, and amid all this stressful, chaotic, fractious tension, the SPFL has witnessed its first managerial casualty of the season.
We'll maybe get to that later in the week. Bigger fish to fry this evening. And Neil Lennon is not a happy man.
No, he certainly isn't, Gordon. He's come out all guns blazing today. I think he's just looked over the weekend, sat down, had a think about it, and thought, no, I'm going to fight back here. And the scattergun was out today, and he's blaming a lot of people, but I think he's got to listen to the people that's criticising him most, you know, and that's his own fans.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so get in touch, give that number a dial, and let the guys know what is on your mind. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter if you would rather. You can do that as well, at Clyde SSB. It's only Tuesday, the weekend is fresh in the memory. How do you look back on it, Roger?
It was a thrilling game at Pittodrie on Sunday lunchtime. Probably a fair share of the spoils. You thought Celtic were going to do what they did at Tannadice, what they did at McDermott Park, arrive late to the party and go home with the 3 points, and they didn't. And off the back of the Rangers and Milan results, a very poor week for Celtic by their own high standards. Rangers, very simple, 3 o'clock on the Sunday, they'd seen Celtic drop more points, 2 goals in 16 minutes, and cruised home against Livingston. And the highlight of Saturday, of course, before you boys mention it, I was at Fir Park to see Motherwell really turn on the style, 4 goals in their first game in a month.
I thought it was a poor week for Celtic. I don't think many will disagree with that. You can say, well, hold on a minute, they got a good point at Pittodrie. Another day it would be a good point, but to go away from home, score 3 goals, you'd expect to win the game. They lost, what, 8 goals in a week, Gordon? Not good enough. On the other hand, Rangers don't lose goals, winning games, won comfortably against Livingston. They've had a terrific week. It's up to Celtic to change that now and start on Thursday night and get off the mark and have a good week, because it certainly is a big one coming up.
Yeah, it's all fast and furious at the moment, Roger. We're swinging from domestic football to European football. Then we've got the Scottish Cup at the weekend as well. So it's usually the season takes a while to get into the big games, but they are coming truly thick and fast at the moment.
Yeah, long may it continue as well. And we're still not very far away from Scotland's game in Serbia, of course, which is, you know, as big as any of them. The bad point for Celtic about the games coming thick and fast is there's actually no real time for Neil Lennon to work with the player, do real meaningful work in the training ground. And there's very little time to get the injured players, the COVID hit players, back into the squad. I think after the defeat to Rangers, I think he would have liked maybe to have shuffled the pack a little bit. He didn't have that luxury. Only Ryan Christie was available again for the Milan game. You look at the weekend, you know, still no Forrest, still no Julien,
Edward.
Still no Edward, yeah, as well. So he hasn't really had much opportunity to almost take a breath and assess what's happened in the last week. And now they're away to France tomorrow. Again, no real players back, and the struggle goes on.
Strong comments from Neil Lennon today. Very strong indeed. So have a listen to these and let us know what you think. 0141 951 1025. He says there's no need for hysteria. He believes the treatment of Shane Duffy in particular is out of order.
Comments that he's rank rotten and he's a bomb scare and he's costing us, and you've seen it, so you know what I'm talking about. And I find that, you know, ridiculous. I have seen millions of players come in here. I've seen them take a bit of time to find their feet and then go on to have brilliant careers. I've seen players come in, hit the ground running, and I've also seen players come in with big reputations and it hasn't worked out for them. we're hoping that's not going to be the case for Shane. And it's my job to manage him the best possible way. He's got my full support. He's got the team's full support. And I don't think we should individualise anybody for what was a decent performance away from home. We conceded some goals. If we'd have held out in the last minute, we'd have the same amount of points as this time last year. So where all the hysteria is coming from is beyond me, but it's something I can't control. I think it's media driven by some people, and it's okay. We can take all that. But there's a clear lack of respect for the players here, for the management here, from a backroom team here at the minute because of, you know, one bad week.
Even more to come on that from Neil Lennon. Lots more to come, in fact. But we want to hear from you and your interpretation of it. 0141 951 1025. Roger, what do you make of those comments?
Listen, Shane Duffy is having a difficult week, and Celtic are having a difficult week. When Shane Duffy first arrived at the club, scored a couple of goals, kept a couple of clean sheets, looked a decent signing. His struggles have mirrored the struggles of the team in recent times. I'm not having any of this as media driven. You listen to the shows here, Gordon, on Super Scoreboard since a week past on Saturday, and you count how many media men, how many pundits have called for Neil Lennon to go, and then consider how many Celtic fans have called for Neil Lennon to go. And I'm willing to say it's, of all the people calling for his job, 100% of them have been the fans, and 0% have been in the media. Some of the greatest criticism in media, though, has come from former Celtic players, not from journalists. He spoke about the criticism of Duffy. A lot of that's come from people like Chris Commons in the papers. So to say it's media-driven is false.
Yeah, I understand what Roger's saying. I do think that there's a part there for the media. I know Roger's got to stick up for that industry. That's what he's in. But like, say for us, we're pundits. We got our opinion. Neil Lennon's quite right to disagree. I've not been.
No, but that's Roger's point. He's not disagreeing, because which pundits have said Neil Lennon should get the sack? I've not heard.
No. But people are coming in, and you're reading pundits and people saying that he's coming under severe pressure. Neil's trying to defend that. They talk about the performance of his players. He's trying to defend that. That's what a good manager does. He comes out and he gets his back up and he puts his arms around his players and he tries to protect him. Now, as much as Neil's sitting there talking about Duffy, well, you can only go week to week and game by game and look at players for him. Duffy, I said in Sunday, Gordon, I don't care who it is. They call him, he's very slow. And Neil said, rank Ron, bomb scare, whatever. I don't agree with that. I think Duffy is a very good player. Unfortunately, because you can't play 100-odd games in the Premier League and be a bad player, right? It doesn't happen. But unfortunately, he's come into a team. There's other players that are not playing well. You know, he's left out his captain that was always unusual, but can understand the age. And Cham, you know, you've got guys that, for instance, the defending at the weekend, look at Ayer's defending. So it's collectively the front men aren't really hitting it off. So all of a sudden he's come into a team and it's not settled just now. But it just takes something just to everything to click in for Neil Lennon. I think he's quite right coming out and defending these players, right? I really do. I think that's his job. He's got to say to his players, we need to stick together, we need to fight the way through. The one thing they've got in their advantage is, and I don't care what you say, they've got a very good squad, talented players, but they've got to start performing. Because Rangers just now, they're doing everything that's asked of them.
Okay, let's speak to Stuart and Cambus Lang, see what he thinks as a Celtic fan. Hi, Stuart.
Yeah, good evening, guys.
How's it going?
I'm not bad, guys. I think Celtic deserve to get criticised, I think. I don't like his comments, Neil Lennon's comments. I mean, Shane Duffy's come up to Scotland, and I think he's come up here like Joey Barton, thinking it's going to be a stroll, and he'll just stroll about the game. And he's found out that that's not the case. And for me, he doesn't look fit, for one. You see, if you play with the ball over the top, he'll just not catch anybody. You know? And I think I'll go as far as to say, if Celtic had beaten Sunday with Aberdeen, I think Neil Lennon's job's on the line here. I really do. I'm not really too fussed about Thursday night. But on Sunday, if you don't win on Sunday, I think it could be, his job could be seriously on the line here.
But here's the thing, Stuart. Neil Lennon says there's no justification for that. This is media driven stuff, that this type of criticism is unacceptable. How would you?
It's It's not coming from the media. I mean, sometimes the media do, but I think this time it's coming from the fans. I really do. And sometimes you've got to criticise your players. See, if they're not playing well, you've got to... I mean, come on. I mean, defensively, Celtic are absolutely dreadful. I mean, they're really, really poor. You know,
Stu, hold on. Are you saying that sometimes Neil Lennon's got to criticise his players? Is that what you're saying, or do you
saying the Celtic fans? Yeah.
Because Neil Lennon has come out and criticised his players, and the minute Neil Lennon does that, we jump on the, oh, he's thrown his players under the bus. I think Neil Lennon just now is quite right to turn around and say, right, okay, we're under a bit of pressure here. Of course, it's a massive week coming up for them. They've had a poor week, in my opinion. He's starting to just say, right, okay, we'll use this to find something, a bit of strength, togetherness, to work towards our goal. As I say, he's got good players at his disposal. But I think, like Stuart, it is a big week, because if Thursday wouldn't bother me, right? Europe wouldn't bother me just now. Obviously, getting to a final of the Scottish Cup against Aberdeen would boost that confidence.
I said this to Hugh last night, though. I don't know how people pretend that you can separate them, because if you are using AC Milan as an example of Celtic being in poor form, then you can't disregard Europe. You can't do that. You can't be selective. If part of Celtic's bad week was a defeat to AC Milan, how can you say that Europe doesn't matter?
Put it this way, Gordon. If I was prioritising a game,
not everyone knows that, but that's
it's
what I'm
going
saying.
To be Sunday. No, look, Celtic and Rangers are clubs that go to try and win every game, right? But what my opinion is, if Celtic take go and lose on Thursday night, but you've seen signs of that, what everybody was talking about second half against AC Milan. Oh, it looked better. Celtic looked sharper. I think Celtic fans would accept that going into Sunday's semi-final against Aberdeen. But they've got to find something to build that confidence. Now, they're coming in for they're getting criticised, and rightly so, because they're not performing at a level they should be. But they're not a bad team. That's the problem.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, I know the point you're making, people and Celtic fans make about Lille on Thursday night, Stuart. But if Celtic lose the game in France, Neil Lennon's detractors will use it as a stick to beat them. They will say it's four games, one draw and three defeats, and you know the pressure's building for Sunday. I think the Celtic supporters who are keeping the pressure on the manager maybe need to remember the manager's remarks after the defeat to Ferencváros. Yeah. When he spoke about players not wanting to be there. You know, there's not a lot of players have been shown the door since then. Are we to believe that there are still players in there who don't want to be there?
Well, let them go then. See the guys who don't want to be there, get them out the door. I don't care who they are, just get them out the door and let's go on, mate. Do you know what I mean? I mean, do you guys fancy Celtic Thursday night?
Stuart, no, I don't.
And I'm a Celtic fan, I hate to say that, but I don't fancy them either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but what I do fancy them to do is find their form again. Because I think they've got too many good players, and I think they've got... Now, I'll give you a perfect example. We've heard it for years on this programme. James Forrest, I think, has been a massive miss, right? And it's not until he's out the team. But when he was playing in the team, people would come on here, how does Forrest get a game every week? Well, you go and look at Celtic, it gives him so much. Edouard's still to come back. He has to find the right formation. Duffy has got to improve his form to show the player that he is. You've got different players. Is Ncham a case of taking him out of the team now? Frimpong, you look at, for instance, nobody likes Frimpong better than me. I hyped him up to the heavens. But you look at Frimpong now, he looks like a reserve player that's come in and he's played in the first team for so many games and he needs a little bit of break.
Well, here's the thing though, right? Because the language used, I understand that. See, when players are described in newspaper headlines by former players as bomb scare or whatever, that is harsh, and you can understand why a manager would take exception to that. But a lot of people aren't using that type of language. You've just said Olivier and Cham. What about people who are quite simply saying, take Shane Duffy out of the team? I don't think he's very good at the moment. I mean, where's the problem in having that opinion if you express it in that type of way?
I don't think there's a problem with that, Gordon. But the problem is, just now for Neil Lennon, is he's limited to who he puts in. You know, because he's got one or two players obviously missing at the centre-back situation. So, and also as the manager, he'll either believe that Shane Duffy can work his way through this and start performing to a level, or if he gets guys like Julian and Beaton and all these guys back, it might be a case of a big decision to say to him, look, I'm going to take you out the firing line.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Stuart and Cambus Lang. Let's hear more from Neil Lennon. He insists no one should be questioning his position or even his coaching style.
People, you know, are saying that I don't do this on the training ground. I don't do it. Nobody knows what I do on the training ground. You know, nobody sees what I do on the training ground. I'm here 8:30 in the morning, maybe 6 o'clock at night. I work with my coaches day to day with the players day in, day out. So, you know, you hear all these rumours, and that's what happens when you go through a little spell, all the conspiracy theory comes out about fallouts, dressing room breakups, all that nonsense. And that's what it is, it's just fake news. I sound like Donald Trump now, but it's just all fake news. Players are great, players are bubbly. There's a few of them got to find their best form. I understand that, they can't be brilliant all the time, but the atmosphere in the camp is very, very good. And there's no justification at the minute for me to be sacked. None whatsoever. So people can put out in the media what they want. They need to behave themselves. They need to start acting professionally. They need to stop telling porkies. And they need to stop digging out players when they've been players themselves and didn't have a great time the whole way through the time here either.
And you thought 2020 was weird enough already. We're about to discuss Neil Lennon and Donald Trump on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Roger Hannah.
Yeah, I would have loved it if Neil had another sentence there to name the former players he was discussing. But listen, I'm going to give you my view on it. My view on it is, I tend to agree with Gordon Dale. Celtic will get better. Celtic win their game in hand, which is likely. It's at Celtic Park. They go within 3 points of Rangers. If they beat Aberdeen at Hampden on Sunday, which in recent years they've tended to do, they're in the Scottish Cup final against Hearts or Hibs in 90 minutes from a fourth consecutive treble. Never been done before. So I think the crisis talk is maybe overhyped. The thing is, unusually, Gordon, the crisis talk isn't overhyped this time by the media. It's simply not media driven. This crisis is being fuelled by the opinions of Celtic fans and former Celtic players.
Celtic fans, do you agree with that or not? This is a great time to let us know. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Passionate words from Neil Lennon today. Celtic fans, or anyone else, anyone who's an interested observer, what do you make of them? Scott is a Celtic fan on the line. What have you got for us, Scott?
When do you say enough's enough? When do you start to put the alarm bells up and say, by the way, this isn't working? Now, Celtic is a club of built towards this 9 in a row/10 in a row. Obviously, 9 season coming. Even under Ronnie, when we the poor period under Ronnie, and I always felt that Ronnie, maybe the job was too big for him, his early in his years. But even under Ronnie, we didn't go 3 games where we lacked shots and target and stuff like that. Yeah, we lost to Rangers, fair enough. Freak result at that time. But we still won the championship. Right now, if we continue playing the way we're playing just now, we won't win the championship. We won't win it. And it's okay saying, aye, the players will find form. Seeing Sunday, I couldn't believe what I was watching. When we were 3-2 up with 5 minutes to go, I looked out to see Jeremy Frimpong standing at the halfway line and 2 other midfield players way beyond him with 5 minutes to go in a game where we struggled to get in front. It's the tactics that scare me. It's the tactics that scare me. We lost to Ferenc Varkos. We lost last year to Cluj. Same position, 3-2 up. I 3-2 up. Game was won. We could beat 4-3. We've done it against Copenhagen. A great result away. We get 2-1 each at Parkhead. Throw it away. Aberdeen, throw it away. Where do you stop with us? I don't have a problem with Neil as a manager. I've got a problem with his tactics. And his tactics right now, whether it's him, whether it's Gavin Strachan, whether it's John Kennedy, I don't know. But we don't look like a good defensive unit. And to win games, you've got to keep the ball out the net. That's my problem. And I agree with Gordon. Gordon was saying earlier on about what results are most important. I'll tell you, if I had more options around, I just wouldn't have been in Europe. Because winning the league is the most important thing that this club has in front of it in the last, I'm going to say, 40 years. Most important thing in 40 years is to create a new record, a modern record, not an old record from 50 years ago. And I love the Lisbon Lions. I love the thought of it and everything that happened. But right now, 10 in a row is the most important thing that this club have ever chased.
Talk about those performances, Scott, and you cited, you know, for argument's sake, Aberdeen at the weekend. But, you know, Celtic is a team filled with international footballers, filled with experienced players. Surely the players, with 5 minutes to go, you're talking where Frimpong is, where the midfield is, surely the players need to take some responsibility for game management. The captain was on by that stage, the vice-captain was still on, the vice-captain gave away the penalty in injury time. Is there not an onus? I know the manager, the buck stopped with him, but is there not some responsibility, some onus on those players to realise, as you say, listen boys, we're 3-2 up, we've struggled to get 3-2 up, there's only 5 minutes to go, let's just see this out, because it's Aberdeen away at Pittodrie, it can be awkward here, you know. Surely those players need to take the responsibility rather than just let the buck stop with the manager all the time.
No, you're right, the players have got to take the responsibility, but see, at the end of the day, no matter what the players do, the manager will take the brunt of it. He's always going to take the brunt of it. See, Shane Duffy, I'm absolutely surprised in what I'm seeing for Shane Duffy. I thought he was a good old-fashioned centre-half. If in doubt, it was into Rose Ed, a sort of Mick McCarthy-type guy. That's who I thought I was going to get when he came to Celtic. Now, granted, I've never seen a lot of Shane Duffy, but he's been playing in the English Premiership. He must be a good level player. But I seen him on Sunday getting robbed. We took the touchline. Now, again, where is Jeremy Frimpong? The centre-half centre out at the touchline again. I'm not trying to ever go to Jeremy Frimpong. He's played less than 50 professional games in his career. He's a young lad learning his trade. So he's going to have mistakes in him, and there's going to be periods of time where he's not playing particularly well. But Shane Duffy is left one-on-one with an Aberdeen centre-forward out on the right side of the touchline. No, I thought he'll just blow that out of the park. No, he tried some sort of, I don't know what he tried to do, but he tried to play it around the guy or off the guy. He's made a mess of it, and we've lost another goal from it. All I'm saying is, right now, the experienced players in the team and the manager aren't getting it right.
The only thing,
and the problem is, when do you stop saying, right, this isn't working?
Scott, what I'll do is I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you in what you said about, if Celtic continue down this road, you're right, they won't win the league. Because Rangers and people can live on the hope of what happened last year when they come back from Dubai. As I said at the weekend, they're in the same movie with different actors, Rangers. I don't see anything slipping from them. I think their standards will go all the way at the end of the season. So it's up to Celtic to go and match that and try and overtake that. I think you can point the finger at Shane Duffy because I think a lot was expected of him. You can look at the goalkeeper. A lot was expected for the money. Ayeti has hardly been fit. A lot's been expected for the money. And Cham, people say, why is he getting a game? So it's not just pointing the finger in a witch hunt at one player. I think collectively just now, Celtic just are off the pace of the game.
Scott, but Neil Lennon thinks that the criticism of Shane Duffy's unfair. It's over the top. It's too harsh. What would you say to that?
We're not talking about a guy that's earning £2.50 in a packet of fags at the weekend here. We're talking about a guy that's earning probably upwards of £40,000 a week that's getting paid solely by Celtic, according to Shane Duffy. So, what I expected to see was a very experienced professional coming in and playing at centre-half and preaching and practising good things that the younger players, the likes of Greg Taylor, the likes of Jeremy Frimpong, and even the likes of Christopher Iyer, who realistically is 22, would pick up and learn off. Well, he's not showed anything so far that I would say Frimpong or Aya or Jerry Ebb or young Greg Taylor. By the way, that's how you defend.
Actually, I feel sorry for Frimpong in a minute, Scott, because as you say, as a young lad, he's less than fewer than 50 games in his pro career. He needs taking out the team. He's out of form. You know, his form again is mirroring the form of the team. In other circumstances, I think El Hamed would have been in the team. He's obviously been away after being struck down with COVID. Maybe had circumstances been different, Shane Duffy might have been taken out of the team. Had Julian been fit, had Beaton been available, you might have seen a change there. I think the problem
But Neil, listening to Neil Lennon today doesn't sound like someone who would drop Shane Duffy if he could. He sounds like someone who doesn't think there's much wrong with Shane Duffy's performances.
If you rewind to some of Neil's press conferences the last couple of weeks, he said similar things about Scott Brown, but he's left Scott Brown out twice. So, you know, there are ways you manage your squad. Sometimes it might do a player a benefit not to be in the team. I would love a penny for the thoughts of Gary Breen, the man who 2 months ago said Shane Duffy shouldn't come to Scotland, it'll be too easy for him. I think if Shane hasn't been surprised by the level of competition up here, Gary Breen certainly will have.
Thanks a lot to Scott in Burmullock. We're on Twitter as well. As always, Scott Carrick says, how can Lennon say it's one bad week? We've been biting our nails nearly every game. Dundee United, St Johnstone, even Livingston and St Mirren, Kilmarnock, and let's just forget the Rangers game. Just a boy, those providing some balance. He says, back the manager, back the team. Trophies are not dished out in October. But T. Rea says, tiresome. The criticism the players have received is 100% justified. The hype surrounding Duffy's signing, you'd expect people to be a bit miffed when he turns out to have less technical ability than Tyler Blackett, Jack Henry, etc., says Tyria on Twitter at Clyde SSB. 01419511025. Let's hear a bit from a genuine Scottish football legend who's defending Neil Lennon. Kenny Dalglish says fans need to remember what Neil Lennon's done for the club in the past.
Yeah, there's some supporters unhappy, but the majority of them will be happy. Unfortunately, for everybody, I don't see Celtic being overactive either in trying to get rid of anybody. So they should remember what Lenny did 4 years ago and remember what he did, what he's done here so far since he's come back. Last year, coming into the new year and getting into the breakdown, they were trailing Rangers a bit and they spread past them over the new year and ran away with the league. So Lenny for me is a manager of Celtic, deservedly so, and I don't think the Celtic people will be looking any other direction, any way, shape or form. And like everything else, the bad news always gets well publicised rather than the good news, doesn't it?
A strong defence of Neil Lennon and Celtic there from Kenny Dalglish. Eddie in Whiteinch, you go along with that?
I 100% agree with him. I'm a mad Celtic fan. I've listened to Super Scoreboard for years and never been compelled to phone in, but I actually think it's embarrassing the way Celtic fans are acting, screaming for the manager's head. I think the guy has shown superb loyalty to the club through hard times, personal and on the pitch. I think his success record is fantastic. And we know what it's like to have a manager who's no loyal to us. And I think the fans should be very careful what they wish for. Because who are they going to get better than Lennon? Who are they going to get that will stand by Celtic? And just to add on to that, as far as players are concerned, with Duffy, etc., a couple of names. Fraser Foster, first season, shocking. Paul Elliott, first season, shocking. Now, that's the problem with lone players, you don't get time to bed them in. But sometimes players hit the ground running. Sometimes they don't hit the ground running. That's just the nature of transfers.
Is a lot of this born out of the Eddie though, of the significance of this season? Because you're absolutely right. And I think across football, and particularly here, we are too knee-jerk. But players ain't getting longer than a season to settle in at the moment, are they, because of what's at stake?
Actually, 100%. I think there's two things with Celtic fans. I think we forgot what it's like to be in a competitive league. And say what we like, we've had, this is 9 in a row and I'm proud of it and I'm dying to do 10 in a row, but we have to, hands up, some of my biggest competitors haven't been there, some of the competition's not been that strong, and I think they forgot what it's like to have real competition. I remember going to the games with the radio and tit for tat, Rangers score or we score, and you don't, it's on a knife edge right up until the last day of the season. The day we stopped 10 in a row for Rangers, last day of the season. And I think we've actually got spoiled with success. And the 10 in a row has just made people go loony. They're absolutely gone lunatics with it.
I can't believe it's taken you all these years to phone in, Eddie, because you make so many intelligent points in there. One of the first things you said was be careful what you wish for. Now, since a week past on Saturday on this show, we've had a lot of Celtic supporters coming in demanding change at the top. I don't remember too many suggesting who might be a better manager for Celtic. Now, here and now, chasing 10 in a row, chasing a treble, competing in Europe, who would be a better option now than Neil Lennon?
I know one's just came available today, Roger.
Behave yourself.
I'll tear them up for you, Daz. And also the point you make, Eddie, about the competitive league. Is part of the pressure building on Neil Lennon the quality of this Rangers team? Now, Ronnie Dyla won 2 titles with Celtic. The team Neil Lennon's got just now, would that beat Ronnie Dyla's team?
Yes.
Because at that stage, Rangers were either out of the league or not very strong in the league. Now there's a very strong Rangers team, and Neil's team, and Neil is getting it in the neck. But a lot of it surely is to do, as you say, with the competition in the league rather than the quality of the team that Neil's put together.
It's all down to the pressure, Roger. There's no doubt of that. There's all down to the pressure of this season. And Celtic fans are looking and thinking, we're not playing well, we're shipping goals, our signings aren't hitting the ground running.
The points total in itself is fine, isn't it? Nothing wrong. This hasn't stacked it up against any previous season.
I think they're 2 points worse or something.
There's nothing wrong with the start to the season. But at the other side of the city, they started very well.
And they started great, Gordon. And they look, you know, as a team and a squad, and everything's going great for Rangers fans and Steven Gerrard and whatever. Now, Eddie picks up the point about loyalty. Loyalty in football now is very, very, very difficult to get. But what I will say about Neil Lennon, loyal to Celtic, yeah, you can't argue with that. But you've got to say as well, Neil Lennon left Hibs, he was out of a job. He went from Hibs to Celtic. Celtic were good for Neil Lennon to bring him in and give him a job, because I don't think Neil Lennon, when he left Hibs, would ever think that he would have the chance to manage Celtic again. So it works both ways. It's all about what's happening. People are starting to panic. People, you're right, Gordon, Celtic fans, Celtic need to look after themselves before worrying about Rangers. But Celtic fans will always look over there to see what's going on. And what's going on at Ibrox now is very good for Rangers.
In you go, Eddie.
Just one thing. Again, back to your loyalty. The best thing the new Rangers board, etc., have done is stick by Gerrard. It'd been easier for them in his first... when he didn't win anything, still hasn't won anything, is to bail and go for somebody else and look for a quick fix. But the reason Celtic have got this challenge is because they've showed loyalty. And the first time we get a challenge, our fans are doing the exact opposite. It's embarrassing.
Eddie, that was a pleasure to speak to you. First time, would you give it another go since you've broken the seal?
I will do.
Good man. Eddie, just along the road in Whiteinch as well. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon. That's what happens, Gordon. Sometimes Brilliant. You listen for years, but something just tips you over the edge.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, if you're sitting there for all those years and you just decide, Tuesday night, I'm on the phone. Brilliant, Eddie.
That's where we're at. Scottish football is in an important place at the moment. It's getting everyone going. Thank you very much to Eddie in Whiteinch. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. We're going to hear from Alex McLeish after these.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Here until 8, so loads of time to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Very passionate defence of all things Celtic from Neil Lennon today, which seems to have got everyone going. Let's hear a bit from Alex McLeish as well. He says Rangers are now title favourites, and that's largely down to their recruitment over the last transfer window.
I believe they can do it because the recruitment in terms of the strikers has been good. I think that's been missing for the last couple of years. Maybe it wasn't in Stephen's capability to do it, you know, in terms of finance or whatever. But that has certainly raised the bar for me a little bit, and it could be a bit of a game changer for in terms of the title this year. You see Roof's goal the other night, he's finding his feet. Itten, we've still not really seen much of him yet. But they definitely needed reinforces other than Morelos and Defoe. And it looks like they've done some good business, and I would mark them down as favourites. Early days, but I would say they're favourites at the moment.
Let's bring in Michael, who is a Celtic fan down in Liverpool. How's it going, Michael?
Not bad, guys. How's it going, Gordon?
Yeah,
Roger?
All good up here, Michael. What have you got for us?
Basically, I want to say one thing before I start. I don't think Rangers are going to lose many points or many games, I should say. Even though Celtic have got games in hand, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Like Gordon or Roger was saying earlier about Frimpong, Frimpong's out of sorts, I think, in the last couple of matches, which I'm quite disappointed in because I like him as a defender. But my point tonight is basically about John Kennedy and Neil Lennon. They're the most passive coaches I've ever seen in my life. Neil Lennon sits on the bench with his hands in his pockets, doesn't he get out off the bench, hardly ever. And John Kennedy is nowhere to be seen. Me personally, I would like to see Paul Lambert with Johan Hjalby or John Hartson or Stylian Petrov as backroom staff. And also, you've got, if you want to give confidence to
I get Hjalby, etc. You're talking about coaches, but when you mention Paul Lambert, you mean to replace Neil Lennon as Celtic manager?
Yes, aye.
But the manager today is pretty clear. He's most unhappy with the fact that there's even a discussion surrounding his future. He calls it media driven, but again, it seems to be fans like yourself, Michael, who are bringing this up. The manager thinks that's unfair.
I like Neil Lennon, but to be honest with you guys, see this in May this year when we won the Scottish Cup, and I was going home on the bus after watching Celtic in the pub and all that. I was very, very disappointed to know that Neil Lennon was given the manager's job. But I thought at first, I had a wee think about it, and then I thought, Neil Lennon will give us some passion because he's got his Celtic through and through. But now, I look at him and I look at he's no the same Neil Lennon that evolved. Do you know what I mean? I like to see a passionate manager like Jurgen Klopp. Do you know what I'm saying? Or Jose Mourinho, who goes and gets off the bench and goes, come on, and tries to G the guys up.
But on the flip side, Michael, this is what happens when the scattergun comes out. And I think Neil Lennon was referencing some of this stuff. Everyone becomes a body language expert. Everyone's talking about what's going on in the training ground. Does he need new coaches, etc.? Arguably, your most successful period recently came under Brendan Rodgers, a calmer manager you won't see.
Exactly, you're right there. But I've been watching Celtic for over 40 years, guys. You know, and I'm just I will be heartbroken if Rangers, but I've got a feeling Rangers are going to win the title.
This is where I've all the sympathy for every manager, Roger, because I feel like if you're not an arm waver, people want you to be an arm waver, and if you are, they want you to not be. Everything gets called into question when results don't go well.
It doesn't matter at all, the manager's body language. Leeds United are having their best period in 20 years. The manager sits in a bucket.
The hour, Willie.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what the manager do. You're the most passive manager in the world. It's Brendan Rodgers, hailed for the invincible team. So whether Neil Lennon leaps about and kicks bottles of water as he did at Inverness many years ago, whether he sits and borrows a tea cake from Lee Griffiths, it doesn't matter. But when the team's losing, as it has done in the last week, things like body language, things like demeanour will be thrown back at the manager. And Neil's not having it, and I have to say, I'm not really having it either.
Yeah, I agree. I don't buy into he should be out there running up and down, throwing his arms about. I don't care about this training is also getting scrutinised about what is Neil Lennon doing in the training. Neil Lennon's right. How many people see Neil Lennon prepare for a game? He'll probably be doing most of the stuff. He's got coaches there as well. That's part of being a management team, Gordon. Neil Lennon will feel, when he wants to step into a training session, to stop it, to put his... I don't know if he's a hands-on, because there's plenty of fantastic managers out there that set everything up and trust in their coaches to go and perform the training session while they overlook it. Now, if Neil Lennon's winning games, we ain't talking about what Neil Lennon's doing in the dugout. We ain't talking about what he's doing in the training ground or what he's doing.
I agree with that, but to be fair, people are just looking for the reasons that they're not winning games.
Well, let me tell
and
you
I,
now.
That's not for me a second saying any of it's accurate.
Well,
but that's where
I'll
it comes
put
from.
It to bed for you, right? Celtic are not winning games. It's nothing to do with the fact that Neil Lennon's not running about the training ground or up and down the touchline.
In theory, the stuff about the touchline, and again, the bit about the training, the bottom line is that we don't know, and that's where Neil Lennon's right. There's no point in people speculating, but you can't say Celtic's lack of results has got nothing to do with what's happening at training, because you don't know either way.
Yeah, but what I'm saying about the touchline, right?
The touchline
I'm concentrating in here. I don't know what sort. Mark obviously worked under Neil. He might have changed. He might be a manager that goes in the morning, has everything set up, all his plans there, and will say to his coaches, this is what we're working on today, I'm going to step in. He might not, but if he's winning games, nobody's interested in that bit.
Michael, Neil Lennon says they're going to get better, they're getting players back, people are exaggerating. Kenny Dalglish says Celtic fans like you have to remember what Neil Lennon's done. Why is none of this good enough for you at the moment?
I mean, he's done good for Celtic, you know what I mean? But I just don't know what's went wrong. I mean, you know what I mean? That 3-5-2 worked, and how is it not working now? I'm just thinking, what's going on here? And I love Frimpong like that, as I say. But I just don't know what's going on, eh? And I was screaming at the telly. I think that in Cham, I don't like him. I never have done. He walks about like Quasimodo, right? He walks like he's on a Sunday stroll in the park. He's too slow for me, right? I don't care what anybody says about him. He came to Paris Saint-Germain, Man City and that. But for me, he's a poor, poor midfielder. Murdo McLeod's, your Stillian Petrels were much, much better players. Paul McStay's. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you've set the bar pretty high with those names.
Three of the best Celtic midfielders of the last 50 years, I would suggest to you.
It does go down as one of the frustrations. And Neil Lennon doesn't like players being singled out for criticism, but anyone who has seen what Olivier Ncham is capable of and has seen him at the moment is bound to wonder what the difference is at the moment.
Yeah, he's playing poorly. Shane Duffy's playing poorly. Jeremy Frimpong is playing poorly. The team is playing poorly. Neil Lennon believes that form is temporary and class is permanent, and Celtic will emerge successfully from this downturn in form. It might not be on Thursday night in Lille. He will have to hope it's at Hampden on Sunday against Aberdeen. Beyond that, it's Sparta Prague at Celtic Park. And beyond that, it's the very important business of trying to reel Rangers back in this Premiership title race.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Very busy start to the show. Just after we play Beat the Pundit, we're going to get the inside track on Rangers Europa League opponents for Thursday evening. But before all of that, it is your chance to win a signed ball and hopefully take advantage of a slip up by Gordon DL or Roger Hanna in the process. It's 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7, so if you want to play Beat the Pundit next, you'll have to be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here. Roger Hanna is alongside him. A busy Tuesday it's been in Scottish football. Neil Lennon ignited things. A very passionate defence of Celtic's position at the moment and his own position. We gave you those comments earlier on, and lots of you still trying to have your say. So I'm sure we'll get back to that before the end of the show. We're also going to get the inside track on Rangers Europa League opponents. We'll do that after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. I must admit, it's much better being back in this studio. I quite enjoyed the comfort of the living room last week, but not being able to see the panic on your face during Beat the Pundit was it was something I missed greatly. You raring to go tonight?
Yeah. My forum's not very good, but I'm
raring
to go.
Okay, let's meet tonight's contestant. David is calling in from Coatbridge. How are we, David?
Hiya, how you doing? Okay?
Not bad, are you well?
Yes, we're all keeping well. Hope you're all keeping well.
Yes, can't complain. I'm going to toss this coin, David. If it's heads, you take on Roger, who, remember, would start on -1. And if it's tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it's heads, it's Roger Hanna.
Good luck, David.
Doesn't play very often, but he's on tonight, David.
Thank you. Good luck.
You ready to go?
Yes.
Good man, right. I'll give Roger some Clyde 2 to listen to. He's giving me the thumbs up. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, David. It's pretty simple. Answer as many questions right as you can. If you're not sure, the secret is pass quickly and get through as many as you can, all right?
Thank you.
Good man, right. 30 seconds going on this clock and your time starts now. What was the final score of Scotland women's match against Finland today?
3-1.
Which Scottish side did Davy Moyes make over 100 appearances for?
St Johnstone.
Which Scottish goalkeeper plays for Derby County?
David Marshall.
Which Asian country did Derek Riordan play in immediately after his second Hibs spell?
Pass.
What's the nickname of Alloa? What domestic trophy, I've started it so you can take a relative amount of time. What domestic trophy did Mikel Arteta not win with Rangers?
The Scottish Cup.
Okay, let's bring back Roger Hanna. Roger, can you hear us?
Yep, but the greatest answer in Clyde too.
Same. I thought Gordon Dier was doing his greatest dancer impression, but it was just him limping to get his coffee. He'd John beat the pundit with that hip. Uh-huh. Any more news? No. Just WD-40 at the moment.
Yeah, WD.
Right, okay. Roger, 30 seconds. Same questions to you. Your time starts now. What was the final score of Scotland's women's match against Finland?
1-0.
Which Scottish side did David Moyes make over 100 appearances for?
Preston.
Which Scottish goalkeeper plays for Derby County?
David Marshall.
Which Asian country did Derek Riordan play in immediately following his second Hibs spell?
China.
What is the nickname of Alloa?
The Wasps.
What domestic trophy did Mikel Arteta not win with Rangers?
The League Cup.
Who topped the Scottish Premier League goal scoring chart with 28 goals in the 2002-03 season?
John Hartson.
Okay. Oh, David, what do you think?
I remember the Wasps now, so Alloa.
David, I was just, you got stuck on that one. I must admit, whether Roger Hanna wins this or not,
brilliant.
Whether he wins it or not, he had a DL.
Yeah.
I've waited years and years and years for this moment, and he had a DL. I'm gonna clip this up. I'm gonna send it to you, and you can make it your ringtone. Exactly, and he's blissfully unaware. Let's revisit question two before we go any further.
Uh-huh.
Which Scottish side did David Moyes make over 100 appearances for?
I never even, not even passed, completely passed me by.
Preston, when did they play in the Scottish?
Completely passed. It's funny because he leapt out his chair. I thought he'd cramp
it's
or something.
It's the quickest I've seen him move.
Oh, that completely passed me by.
There you go. That happens to the best of them.
Was it the Pars?
Well, we'll get to that. But I just wanted to listen.
Wondered why you were leaping about.
The chance to ridicule Roger Hanna comes along. Doesn't come around very often. So do you know what, David? You've got some sort of moral victory, even if this doesn't go to plan.
It may be a victory.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't know though. Let's find out. What was the final score of Scotland's women's match against Finland? David, I tried to do your turn here. I'll give you let you in a wee secret. About 5 minutes ago during the break, Roger Hanna said to me, "What was the final score of the Scotland women's game?" He was just curious, and I just dingied him. I thought, I'm not going to tell him because I know that's the first question. But he's sharp, and he went and checked. So it was 1-0 to Finland.
Right, oh, no problem.
1-0, Roger. Well, actually,
I didn't know that. I didn't know they were
playing today. Exactly, it was a guess. It was a first defeat of the qualifying campaign, I think. So hopefully
spoiled it for Daz. Daz had taped it. He was trying to keep it quiet.
Shelley Kerr's side can get back on track. Roger does start on -1, so that's you level. Which Scottish side did Davy Moyes make over 100 appearances with? Unbelievably, it was not Preston, but David couldn't get it either.
Dunfermline.
Look at that. Just you stick with the Dazzler, Roger. You won't go far wrong. Which Scottish goalkeeper plays for Derby? You both got it right, David Marshall. Which Asian country did Derek Riordan play in immediately following his second Hibs spell? What did you go for that one again, David?
Passed it.
It was China. So Roger goes one up, essentially. What is the nickname of Alloa? Is the Wasps? Roger goes two up. There was a bit of life left in David. Mikel Arteta didn't win the Scottish Cup.
Was that right?
So he's pulled it back to within one.
Missed out injured against Dundee.
But that was where David's run ended, and it didn't matter. I thought you'd have gone for the more obvious 0203 Henrik Larsson.
Was it Henry Larsson?
Yeah, it was Henrik Larsson. But it doesn't matter. In the end, he had a nightmare and he still managed to pip you, David. Hardlines.
Listen, that was great. Thanks for calling. It was good.
No, brilliant. We enjoyed having you on.
Cheers,
David. Thank you very much. That was David in Coatbridge. That's what you're up against. He's had a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Still wins.
And he starts from -1. I don't know. I feel like he might have been there for the taking tonight.
Yeah, I thought he was, especially with the David Moyes one. Preston's a good answer. It's not that far away. It's
a lot of people out of form at the minute. It's a difficult time of the season. You said yourself you're out of form. I'm out of form.
I think it's the no crowds. I think that's what it is. I think it's having a real impact on everyone.
Maybe
phased
by having Gordon back in the studio. Should we send him back out to the house?
Yeah, the pressure.
No, I quite like when Gordon's there. I like to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's nice. It's good to be back.
I prefer your company in here.
I mean, there was a certain novelty to just sitting on the couch all day, getting to 5:30, and then I would think about switching the machine on maybe 5:45 and then do the show.
No, it's when you finish.
I like being here.
Unplug
I like
the machine and I'll get the kettle on, lovely TV.
I mean, exactly. Last week I was done for Bake Off starting, whereas tonight I'm going to have to record it and catch up.
Exactly.
You know, these are the big decisions you need to make. Anyway, lots of the show dominated tonight by Neil Lennon's comments today, which is understandable when one of the the top clubs and their manager speak so passionately about what's going on, then people have their say. I'm sure we'll probably get back to it, judging by these phone lines. Let's turn our attentions tentatively to the Europa League this week, though. Lech Poznan, Rangers opposition.
Yeah.
Roger Hanna, Gordon Dale's here as well. As we often do, let's get the inside track. Christopher Lash is based in Warsaw in Poland, knows his stuff on Polish football. Christopher, thanks for joining us. What type of team did the Rangers face on Thursday night?
Kind of a different team in terms of what you might expect from a lower to medium to lower club from a small country, or not a small country, but a country that's not doing that well in European football, because they play really, really, really attacking football. So they might not do it against Rangers, but they don't change their style, really. So expect them to like throw everything at you. Yeah, it might not work, but yeah.
A difficult comparison, perhaps, but we'll give it a go. For the Rangers fans, the obvious recent experience they've had would have been Legia Warsaw, when Rangers knocked them out not so long ago. How would the strength of those two sides compare?
Completely different. Completely different. Chalk and cheese. Lech are completely top-heavy, bad defence, and Legia were great in defence, were very good in defence, and had a terrible attack. So it's completely different. Completely different.
In terms of stylistically, Rangers have kind of shown that they are very comfortable at European football at the moment, and have been at times happy to catch teams on the break. Is that the way you would see the game going, just listening to what you're saying about like Poznan being willing to just throw everything at it and kind of hope that it works?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends how Rangers set up. Obviously, I'm not watching that much Scottish football, but you know, I've heard a bit about you, and obviously you've got a great, very good defence, and you know, a lot better than last year, I think, in general. That's the comments that I've read and stuff, and yeah, what I've seen. Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, I think that, you know, probably the best way of doing it for Rangers is to sit not that deep, but a little bit, and you know, and hit Lech on the break. But it is a little bit risky, and I mean, I don't want to take on Rangers fans, but you know, Lech really do have an exciting attack. And it's not really just the attack. The two midfielders don't really sit. They move forward as well. Two sort of six and eight. The 10 is incredibly attacking as well. Basically got Modder, who's just been signed for Brighton for 10 million quid, who's been loaned back to Lech. They've got a guy called Pedro Tiba next to him, who's exciting, kind of creative Portuguese midfielder, a Spanish kind of number 10. And they've got two fullbacks, which basically are like wingbacks. Really, really attack, loads of energy, some exciting wingers as well. So it really is just, it's so different to what Legia did last year. But the thing is, with when you watch Legia, you just don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen.
If you were to pick one of those guys that you mentioned, who would be the one danger man, if you like, or the one that the Rangers fans should look out for?
Well, my favourite player is this fantastic left winger. I think he's right when he sort of switches a bit. Jakub Kaminski, who's born in June 2002, so 18-year-old, who's just been called up for the Polish national team, first call up. He's just incredibly exciting player. Plays between the lines, you know, assists. Really, really dangerous and really creative, fast, and just a lot of fun. I think he might go for like. Break this kind of record. McModder went for 10 million to Brighton, but I think Kaminski could break the league record and go for even more. So him, but in just in general, it's a really very really exciting attacking unit. Just the centre backs are pretty poor, basically. That's why I'm saying it's atypical for a team at this level, you know, who's not from a top league to be so attacking, you know, and that's why it's fun to watch them play.
How important is the Europa League to Lech? They've obviously lost the first game last week against Benfica. Are they focusing on domestic matters more now, or do they still see themselves as having a chance of qualifying for the knockout stages, do you think, Christopher?
Well, I think the team that they've got the most chance of getting points off is Standard. I didn't watch the Standard Rangers game, but I've heard they're not playing that well and they're not that great a team, Standard. So, you know, as someone, you know, Poland's coefficient is absolutely awful for the amount of money and the size of the country, and it really should be a lot better. I know Scotland has had problems in the last, well, was doing pretty badly, and then, you know, Celtic and Rangers together have been pulling you guys up again. But Polish football desperately needs coefficient points. So, and to be honest, I think the way that Lech play gives them a chance of getting them, because, okay, they could lose, and they probably will lose against Rangers, but they also, I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm saying that the way that the attackingness of them means there's always a chance they could. They played against Benfica, and, you know, they had like almost the same amount of possession as Benfica. They had more shots on target, hit the post, some really good saves. Their just defence is bad, you know. There's not been a Polish side in a Europa, in a group stage since 2016-17 when Legia won it, either the Champions League or the Europa League. So it is important for them. And just, the sheer positivity of the football means that it's just, you know, do they have a chance? Who knows? They might do because of that attackingness of them.
You touched upon the lad who went to Brighton in the last transfer window and has been loaned back. The previous transfer window, the big export, of course, was Patrick Klamala to Celtic. Are people in Poland, have they been monitoring his progress in the almost a year now that he's been at Celtic, Christopher?
Yeah. I mean, obviously with the pandemic and the fact that, you know, Scottish football closed off, it sort of, there wasn't much talk about him then, obviously. Polish, there's so many Polish players all over the place that, when your players are all over the place in different leagues, it's sort of, you get little bits of information here and there from all these different places, you know, Italy, France, and Polish players are in really good leagues as well. I think he's, people are keeping track. I mean, obviously he's not, I think he's in and out of the team, isn't he?
Yeah, doesn't play all that much at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, if he was playing more, I mean, obviously I've seen a couple of his goals and stuff, and obviously he's done a decent job, I think, you know, in general. I wasn't quite sure how he would do, but, you know, people are keeping track, but I think that he needs to play more, even if he's got any chance of getting to the Euro 21 squad, he needs to play more, basically.
Great stuff, Christopher. We will have to leave it there, but thank you so much. That was Christopher Lash, a Polish-based football expert, giving you the inside track on Lech Poznan. Rangers fans, I'm sure you had plenty to think over listening to that. So we'll see what happens when the sides meet on Thursday. Thanks again to Christopher. Let's bring in Andrew, who's a Rangers fan from Crookston. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. How are you doing?
All good. How are you?
Good. Aye, great. Hope you're all keeping well.
Yeah.
Keeping well away from this pandemic. I was just listening to the earlier caller there. He made some really good points. Getting into the Rangers game, I'm pretty confident. I watched a replay of Lech Poznan's game, and I seen that they're a decent side. They look a decent side, and as the earlier caller said, was that their defence looks a bit leaky. Mind you, they're playing Benfica, so Benfica are no mugs, as you know. But I do think we'll get 3 points. I also disagree what he said about. I disagree with one thing he said about Standard Liège not being such a great team. Now, they haven't been beat at home in Europe in 6 years. So I kind of disagree with that part of his point. That was the only point I did disagree with. But I can't fault Rangers at the minute at all. The way they're playing, the fluency they were playing with, the bench is a completely different. It's a different. It's
stronger.
Night and day from last year.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, when you look at Rangers in these types of European games, and there have been so many, so it's not like we're just basing it on one or two and people are getting carried away. You just get the feeling now, for Rangers to lose a game like this, they'll have to drop their level considerably compared to what they usually do in these matches.
Yeah, of course they will, but I think it'd be music to Rangers' ears if Christopher's right when he's assessing, you know, the opposition, the fact that, you know, they're a very attacking team, but they're very poor at the back. That's Rangers' strength, especially away from home in Europe. You know, defensively, Rangers are solid just now. And going forward, especially against a bad defence, and hitting on the counter attack, then I think that would suit Rangers down to a T. And I think it would make Rangers, you know, very strong favourites to go there and get a good result. Because see, if you're not losing goals, you know, the confidence that gives you is incredible. And your strikers, have a look at the quality in the strikers that they've got. You look at Defoe coming in at the weekend there, and his goal, 300th goal, terrific. Roof over in Belgium, terrific as well. Morelos, not scoring as many as Rangers fans would hope, but I think he's playing such a big part in the team as a team player. So all going well for Rangers. They'll go there with a lot of confidence, and if they play to their capabilities, you'd expect them to win the game.
Yeah, but a different type of challenge. Look at the weekend, look at Sunday at Ibrox. You know, Livingston come, they sit in, five at the back, try and defend for their lives. They happen to be 2-0 down after 16 minutes, but they defended, and you know, they made Rangers try and play through them. If Lech Poznan come in a cavalier attitude and try and pour forward at Ibrox, completely different challenge. It'll be interesting to see how Rangers actually deal with a challenge like that. But it's a Poznan team, lost four at home in their opening game in this section. They're now coming to a Rangers team in form, who won on the road in their opening game in the section. I think Steven Gerrard will feel confident about the challenge ahead.
I was going to ask you, Andrew, what the main difference is between this season and last season. Is it all about that depth that you mentioned off the bench? But Rangers' European form's actually been so good over the last couple of seasons, you would have been as confident of winning a game like this back then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. What I mean about night and day from last season, the bench is the transfer market was absolutely fantastic. We've still yet to see the boy Zungu, which is another great thing to look forward to. And the other thing as well, what I'm liking about hearing from Steven Gerrard, it says, you know, we're going game by game. We're not going forward or getting carried away. It's game Saturday,
yeah, take one at a time.
Sunday, the game on Thursday. Concentrate on the game on Thursday and then go again on Sunday, concentrate on the game on Sunday. So taking game each side. Getting back to what you asked me there about last season. If you just look at the bench, if you even looked at the bench on Sunday, the bench was just full of quality.
It's not just in the bit. You look at the changes that he's made. The good thing about Rangers, they've come off a terrific week. They've got a home game and they're no travelling, and you'd expect them to go and win it.
Thank you, Gordon DL. Thank you, Andrew in Crookston. What a question we've got next on this teaser. No. This is going to drive you nuts. Get your pen and paper ready. I'll give you a full-time teaser. And by the way, no Scottish Cup replays this season. It's been announced by the Scottish FA as the tournament tries to deal with the pandemic, the fixture list. No Scottish Cup replays. A thing of the past. What do you make of that?
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Time for Roger Hanna and Gordon DL to put their minds together. I'm sure it'll be a 50-50 share as they tackle tonight's full-time teaser. It's a tough one, this, by the way. It really is.
No surprise.
Yeah, and what I'm liking, there's some, you know, because John Smith, he likes to send in tough ones that I give to you. This season we've discovered the crazy pony. He sends some tough ones in. Ooh. There are loads of people are sending them in, but just some are more difficult than others, and I need to keep the difficult ones for a Tuesday. So this one by the pony, 10 players have played in a London derby in the English Premier League, and they've also played in an Edinburgh derby. Can you name them? Now obviously London derby's a bit loose, you know, there are loads of teams there, but 10 players have played in a London derby in the English Premier League, and they've also played in an Edinburgh derby.
London derby and an Edinburgh derby, there you go.
That's a good one.
It is a good one, isn't it? And as always, thanks to the pony for sending them in. It's fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to contribute, if you want to hear your question. That's the beauty of it. You send the questions in, the pundits try and come up with the answers, and if it goes wrong, I just blame you and I take nothing to do with it. Any to get the ball rolling?
I'm just just writing down the names of these London teams it could be.
Yeah, I mean, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think there's about 7 or 8 London teams feature in the answers.
And have played in an Edinburgh derby.
That's Hibs or Hearts, Daz.
Yeah, I've got that.
The Hibs keeper, I'm not sure whether he played with Arsenal, Graham Stagg. The other Hibs
Gary O'Connor didn't he?
Eve McAlambie, play any for Chelsea?
John Collins, am I going back as far as that gone? Can you allow?
Yeah, but he's actually not one. Interestingly, it seems like a good shout from you, but he's not on the list.
Does.
Maybe not in a London derby in the English Premier League.
Well, that could be, yeah. Maybe. Fulham, but I thought he played with Fulham in the Premier
League. Yeah, but did he play in a London derby?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he did. That would just give me that.
Right, I'll give you a clue. There is a goalie.
There's a goalkeeper.
And it's not Hibs.
The Hearts goalie.
Silence.
No, we just need to get
you think so?
The thought process going here. Once we're going, we'll be fine.
Right, okay.
Apparently.
We've got John on the line who's got a strong message for some of the Celtic support. So I'll get to him in just a second. Let me just update you on one of the other stories doing the rounds today. There will be no Scottish Cup replays this season. The Scottish FA has announced revised rules to take into account the pandemic and the crowded fixture list. So drawn games will go into extra time. They'll be decided by penalties if necessary. Sensible?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Well, listen, we discussed it earlier on, the crammed fixture list. They're going midweek weekend. There's a break next month. There'll be 3 Scotland games very quickly. There's just too few dates available. I think it's a sensible decision by the SFA. It'll alleviate a bit of fixture congestion. You don't know how far the two teams still left in Europe are going to get. You don't know how many further games are going to fall because of COVID-19 related issues. Jim Duffy didn't get his first home game of the season at the weekend because of a waterlogged pitch at Dumbarton. So there are all manner of pressures on a congested fixture fixture list, if you like. And I think it makes sense that the SFA do away with replays this season.
I mean, it's something that gets debated regardless of the pandemic, Gordon. Some people just think we should do away with them. The obvious counter argument is, if you're a small team, it can feel like a win. You go and get that financial boost of getting the replay, and well done to you. But at the moment, I think most would agree it seems sensible.
Yeah, you're right, Gordon, because even when I played, and for instance, played at Raith Rovers, I always remember if you get Rangers and Celtic, you're on 300 a win and 1,000 a draw just to get back to Celtic Park or Ibrox. But in the present day, I think it's a very sensible idea. It's a correct decision, and you've got to be applauded for that because of the situation that we're in.
I mean, also something that affects teams down the food chain, if you like. The clubs who are going to face Premiership teams will be required to test for COVID-19, much like the League Cup, to be fair, Roger. We've had a bit of a flavour of that. A lot was said about it at the time, but you can understand why not doing that would lead to all sorts of difficulties.
Well, you can understand. I look at the difficulties we're having just with Premiership fixtures at the minute, the problems that Kilmarnock are going through, or going through, St Mirren are currently going through, Aberdeen, Celtic, Hibs, Hamilton, they've all been touched by it. So anything we can do to enhance the testing process and to reduce the number of COVID-related incidents is to be welcomed, because there really is very limited scope, as we're seeing, on the fixture calendar for any more postponements.
Okay, 01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Let's bring in John, who's calling in from Parkhead tonight. How's it going, John?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? Right, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. What have you got for us?
Fuck. Celtic fans. Certain selection, the Celtic fans. I certainly know the type of Celtic fan I was when I was getting brought up to be one and still are. I need to stop pressing the panic button. We're talking about a wee guy who's gone 5 trophies in a row, 4 trebles in a row. I don't think he's lost feet. That's just if they came back to Celtic. We're only 10 games out of the season. I want them sacked.
just don't get that. But again, I suppose it's a different era. I just think that we've heard it all before. Last two seasons, we were struggling. We've always come back. Need to give him a chance. So,
I mean, for what it's worth, John, in a general sense, I'll stick up for youngsters everywhere. I'm just about clinging on to being one. When you mention it being a different era, you know, sometimes in football discussions we fall into this trap of, because things have been bad in the past or because things have been worse in the past, you then can't demand better at the present. And I'm not really sure that always is valid. However, I think many Celtic fans listening will agree with you and will think that it's too early to be hitting the panic button. The ones who are hitting the panic button, I assume they're doing so because they don't see it getting better. How confident are you that it will?
Well, we've been through it before, the last two seasons. But my point is, right, how is it worse? We've not lost a trophy. We've not lost a trophy and Fiona Ryan's came back to the club under Brendan Rodgers as well for a long time. So I don't know where this worse thing comes from. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, I would have loved to have, I mean, through the Tommy Burns era, I think we won one trophy in about 9 years or something like that, up to the Stoke Rangers there. You know, that's what I'm not getting. There's nothing to be worried about here.
I think you're wrong, John. I think there's a bit to be worried. If you're a Celtic fan, and that's why we're getting inundated with calls, criticising the manager and the players, I think Celtic fans are worried, and I think they should be worried, because yes, I'm like you. I wouldn't even think of sacking Neil Lennon. I wouldn't be pressing the panic button, but shortly I would be looking for better signs of my team.
Can I come back in, Gordon?
Of course you can.
Right, what is it to be worried about, Gordon? Because see, if they win their game in hand, they're 3 points behind Rangers. And that's us supposed to be playing bad. Mm-hmm. So what is, if we start playing good, what is it to be worried about? We're not going to play like this all season. We've got too many good players. You just need to calm down a bit. We're just there a quarter of the way into the season.
And by the way, Roger, John might be right. That's the thing that none of us know as much as we would pretend. But it's the size of that if that he says, you know, if we win this, if we do that, that's what's concerning some people. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but it's the size of the if at the moment that concerns people.
And it certainly seems to be concerning a lot of John's fellow Celtic fans. You know, in the first hour of the show there, Stuart phoned, Scott phoned, Michael phoned, and they were all demanding a change in manager. Now, Celtic, if they win the game in hand, as I said earlier, are 3 points off the top of the league. They win on Sunday at Hampden. They are 90 minutes from a fourth consecutive treble. It's not quite the, you know, 9 years without a trophy that John's talking about. So is it to do with 10 in a row? Is there a fever going on among supporters about this? Is it just a case of there's now a generation of Celtic fans who have been spoiled, who don't know about the times that John's talking about, you know, periods of time, lengthy periods of time without silverware, and have been spoiled by the success that Celtic have had in the last decade?
Let me ask you about that the same way I kind of put it to John, though. I get that. I get that you can be spoiled, but where does that get you? If your priority is right now in assessing where your team, not just talking about Celtic, any team, assessing where your team are, where they're going, you want the best for them, you want them to strive and constantly get better and better and better, what relevance is it that you previously had tough times?
So if you take that to the nth degree, that means every time a team goes through a week of two defeats and a draw, the manager has to go.
Of course not. That's what I'm saying. You're not catching me saying Neil Lennon should go. I just think this general narrative, and maybe it's us youngsters getting annoyed at you old timers saying that, but I just, you know, or you don't know how hard we've had it. I just don't get it. But again, maybe that's the generational thing on my side.
Maybe this is a disposable generation and managers. You know, we're quite laughing and joking. We're touching on Mark Wilson.
No, but again, I don't. I'm not
that's
saying
a
Neil,
nonsense.
I'm not. Of course it is, and I'm not saying Neil Lennon should go. Far from it. I just wonder the real relevance of the fact that things have been worse before. I just don't get it.
No, but I think what we're saying is that, you know, John's asking for a little bit of patience, not a knee-jerk reaction. Let's just sack the manager because we've had a bad week. You know, try and show a bit of patience. We're not saying give Neil Lennon a 10-year deal. What we're saying is Neil Lennon has probably done enough for Celtic, not even as a player, as a manager in both spells, that when he goes through a bad week like this or a bad month like this, then he should be able to dip into that pool of goodwill that he's built up over a period of time, and that should be enough to protect him from the calls for his head that we've heard tonight and we've heard since a week past on Saturday, since that defeat to Rangers at Celtic Park.
Final word to you, John.
I know, I kind of agree with what Roger says there. I just wish that, I mean, you're a supporter, support the team. And the team's, it's like, well, no, it's nothing yet. No, so I don't even understand why you wouldn't support the team. Get behind the manager and get, let's get on to this season now.
Gordon?
Yeah, I'm with John and John Camp there. I think that you should get behind your manager. You know, it's going to be a long season. But I would slightly be concerned, and I'd be hoping that the form started kicking in very soon, because I don't think you can count, like last season, Rangers coming back from Dubai and then having a bad few weeks and Celtic just cantering away. I think Rangers are in for a long haul. I think this is going to be really tight.
John, thank you very much for taking the time to get in touch with us tonight. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. You need to get moving on this teaser. We're looking for 10 players who've played in a London derby in the English Premier League and in an Edinburgh derby. Scott Brothers has got one on Twitter. That's a cracker. Craig D's got one. Alan Lappin's got one.
Gordon Dale's got one. Either that or the cramps kicked in again.
I'll be the judge of that.
I'm going for Gordon Dury.
Brilliant. Well done. Tottenham, Hearts and Tibbs, didn't he?
He did. Mm-hmm. Yep. What about great quiz question answer, Antti Niemi?
Yes.
Ah, Roger.
How old is he, etc, etc. Yep.
Bloody blah. No Hibs goalie.
No, that was the one. That was the goalie. Yeah.
Stokes didn't play for Arsenal, did he?
Not in a derby, no.
That's a good shout, that does look.
It's not really, because it was wrong.
Because it was
wrong.
Fair point.
Real spread across the generations as well, or across the years, I should say.
Mark Burchill was never loaded when there was London clubs, was he?
No.
Played for Hearts.
How far are we going back here?
Yeah, English Premier League, so
92-93.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, one of them is far back. The one that's the furthest back is the biggest name that's on this list as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be somebody that comes for Celtic Rangers to Hibs or Hearts and then have come down that way. That's the way I'm starting to think.
Okay. Matthew Breckenridge is giving you backup. He's showing us evidence that John Collins should have been on this list. That's fine. We'll add it on.
That's us got 11 now. Then.
Apparently. Yeah.
Well done, Dazzler.
Yeah, tell the pony he needs to get himself sorted out.
The pony's giving us nae chance.
Nae chance.
I'll give you thinking time. We'll get the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Score.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dale are here. We're about to speak to Lewis in Livingston on the line. Let's quickly check in this teaser. It is a tough one. We were looking for 10. It might well be 11 players who've played in a London derby in the English Premier League and an Edinburgh derby. We reckon we've added John Collins on. You've got Gordon Dury, Antti Niemi. What else did you get?
Dazzler's on a flyer here.
What'd you get?
Ray Wilkins.
Brilliant, well done.
And
Stephen Dobie.
Oh, superb. That's such a good answer. I think somebody helped you out with that, actually. Crystal Palace and Hibs. That's an outstanding effort.
You don't get any credit in this game.
None whatsoever, Daz.
None. Oh, don't think I've forgotten about your effort last week when I was at home. Did you hear this, Roger? He got caught
Allison.
Red-handed.
Woeful.
Were you with him?
An eyewitness did tell me.
Yeah. Any more quickly?
No, I'm struggling now.
I'll give you some clues to help you along. You're looking for a guy who played for Fulham and Hearts. You're looking for another who played for Charlton and Hibs. I think they're the two easiest ones at the moment. Let's bring in Lewis and
Livingston. Tom Soares, no?
Oh, that's brilliant. That wasn't one of the clues, but well done. Tom Soares, Crystal Palace and Hibs. Great effort, that is. Right, let's bring in Lewis, who is in Livingston. How's it going, Lewis?
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good, not I'm bad good. At How all. You? Yeah, all good. What's your point tonight?
Right, basically, I'm thinking with how Rangers' defence has been this season and how we've been playing, especially Philip Hollander, I think you've got to put him up there now and compare him to the likes of the best that have been playing in the Scottish League. I think his positional play is unbelievable. He reads the ball so well. And I think you've You could even put him up there and compare him to the likes of Jaap Stam. I'd even say he's possibly better than Jaap Stam. Even though I know he's not played in Scotland, I think you could put him up there with Jaap Stam.
Come on. It's a bit early for that, is it not?
No.
Well, you see him playing in Europe. You see him playing in the league.
By the way, he's very good. He's been a very good signing, but I just wonder if that's extremely high praise.
Well, it is, but I mean, I think the way he's played this season, I think he's easily been the best defender in the league. And I think he keeps on playing like this, I think I don't see what he's not got, apart from maybe his pace. I don't see what he's not got or got that Jaap Stam hasn't.
Jaap Stam won a
Champions League winners medal.
I actually spoke about Helander on the show last week, because we were talking about, one of the callers came on and accused me of not giving Rangers enough praise for the win at Celtic Park, and I sort of picked out Goldson, who scored the two goals, and Tavernier, the captain, and spoke about their defending rather than their attack. And I used to think that area between Tavernier and Goldson was slightly vulnerable defensively. And I spoke last week about how they had sorted that out and really improved it. And I actually mentioned that the involvement of Helander next to Goldson might actually have been a contributory factor to that. That, you know, Helander and his experience is helping out Goldson, that in turn is helping out Tavernier. I think Helander's done well when he's had a run in the team and a run injury free. You know, he had a few injuries when he arrived from Bologna. When he's a run injury free, you can see his quality. But I don't mind praising him for his quality. Jaap Stam, another level for me.
Is there something about the style of the players? Does he remind you of Jaap Stam, or is that just a name that you've come up with, Lewis?
I think that's more it's not that he reminds me, because I feel as though Jaap Stam's a lot more of an aggressive centre-back. He's a lot more, you'll sort of come to the defender, whereas I think Helander's recovery tackles are fantastic, even though he's not got that speed. I think it's just defensive ability-wise, I think they're extremely similar, but sort of play style, I can see the differences.
Gordon, is he up there with
Jaap? No, but look, at the end of the day, it's all about opinions. My opinion is no. He's certainly having a good season, as is most of the Rangers players, especially at the back with the clean sheets. He's got a bit of competition in there, and he's holding that competition off very well, because Goldson's the main one that always starts, and it's whoever with Goldson. So he seems to be the main man just now, but that's a very, very high bit of praise that he's given there.
Absolutely, I don't mind that. That's fine. Thank you very much to Lewis, who's in Livingston. Thank you once more, 01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Great response to this question, I must say.
What about Jonathan Johansson?
Yes.
Roger Hanna, take a bow.
That's your Charlton and Hibs one.
Which other one, Rod? Gordon?
I must admit, some great answers coming in. P. Mick.
One of my favourite headlines, by the way, when Johansson left Rangers to go to Charlton, Finn to the Valley.
That's not bad. Yeah. Steve O'Mack, I'll give you a help.
Good headline.
Steve O'Mack got John Spencer, which is wrong.
No.
Colin Moffat's throwing a good one in that you're waiting for. David Stevenson's playing along. Peter Gray. Stephen Tennant has got an. What an answer that is from Stephen Tennant. Gordon McIntosh got Johansson as well.
How many have we still got, Gordon?
Four.
Ooh, are we on to nine? Need clues, and it's only 10-2, Roger. We need clues already, Gordon, I think.
I've got a bit of time. Let's take our first. Well, it's maybe not our first, but let's look ahead a little bit to the week that lies ahead, since we're coming to an end, Roger.
Yeah, two very different European games for Rangers and Celtic on Thursday. Celtic first, away to Lille. Lille joined top of the French league with Paris Saint-Germain, scored four goals away in Prague in their opening day. They will want to go deep into this competition. They are full of quality, they are full of goals. They will be an enormous test for an out-of-form Celtic team. I agree with some of the Celtic callers early. I think Celtic will not win the game, but I think Celtic's priority has to be Hampden on Sunday and getting to a Scottish Cup final, getting a win on the board again, and lifting some of the pressure that has been on Neil Lennon with the criticism from the supporters. As for Rangers, 6 points clear domestically, one in Liège last week. I would expect them to put away Poznan on Thursday night. And again, arguably bigger for Rangers is Sunday at Rugby Park, Sunday lunchtime, and the opportunity to widen that gap to 9 points, albeit having played a couple of games more.
Yeah, I think it's big for both teams, obviously. Thursday night starts off. Rangers, home tie, you'd expect, the form they're in, to win that, especially after hearing that the Polish team like to attack and with their full-backs, and they play very high up the pitch and the defence isn't so good. So I think Rangers can take the advantage of that. Big, big, big week for Celtic. If they can get something, a positive result on Thursday night to take into the semi-final against Aberdeen, then get themselves into a final, you can turn the corner very quickly. But very important games coming up.
Okay, I'll do you some wrong answers, shall we? Murnee has gone Ricardo Fuller. That's not right. I wonder when this question was written, actually, because Craig D has thrown in Matt Doherty. Have Spurs played one yet this season?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, have they not played? Do you play Arsenal?
He doesn't play every week though, does he? Sergio Aurier plays from time to time.
Anyway, it might be because these questions
played,
come in.
He played West Ham last week in the 3-3 game.
Yeah,
I'm not sure Doherty played.
Anyway, because the question could have been written a couple of weeks ago or whatever. So let's give that one the benefit of the doubt. But you've got a couple more to get.
I need clues because I'm struggling.
What about the lad Stephen Elliott?
No.
That's a good shoot. That was good shoot. What positions do they play, Gordon? Because I'm very good at positions. Remember I get the goalkeeper last week, Kitchen.
There's a sentence I never thought I'd hear on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're looking for
Perry Kitchen.
What about your Fulham and Hearts one that I told you about? Central defender.
Oh, the big lad, Hughes.
Yep, I'm happy with that.
Class,
well done. Right, there's another defender in there. Hibs, Charlton, West Ham. You've possibly forgotten he played for Hibs.
I think we've forgotten he played for Charlton and West Ham.
He's from the US of A.
Oh, Roger, this is doing your
Jonathan Spector.
Jonathan Spector, well done. Okay. What else have we got here? Right, this one's a bit tougher. We're going back a bit. This guy also played for Aberdeen, Motherwell, Dundee, Chelsea, Hibs. And he was at Chelsea sort of 93 to 96. Then he came back up here, Hibs, Aberdeen, Motherwell. I think he'll need to put you out of your misery on this one.
Initials?
A.D.
Alan Davis.
No. Right, quick, because we need to move on. Andy Dow. Right, one more to get. West Ham, and then a pretty short loan spell at Hibs.
Initials?
Now you will get it off this. R.V.T.
Oh, Ricardo Vaz-Tay.
Ricardo Vaz-Tay. Thank you very much, Roger and Gordon. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. It was another extremely busy show, so apologies if you couldn't get through. But the great thing about it is we're always back the next day, tomorrow, 6 o'clock. We'll be here. We would love for you to join us. Callum Gallagher is up next, so he'll look after you for the rest of the night, and we'll speak to you at 6 tomorrow.